We have a very special show today. We are going deep into the Solana NFT project that has taken the world by storm. In one of the toughest markets, this project sold out a 10K PFP drop that was heavily botted, and they used some pretty innovative techniques to get rid of the bots and really build a core community. It has risen to stardom in record time and has some really incredible technology behind it. I can't wait to go into all of this and more on today's episode of Goats and the Metaverse. And we've got a very special guest coming on, the founder of this project. It's none other than Backpack and Mad Lads. We're going to tell you more about that. But before I do that, Stanley, how are you?
You were saying about a special guest. I felt so welcome.
You're no longer a special guest. You are a special co-host.
Permanent fixture. I am doing well. The market is not doing so well, but smiles over here, day in and day out. Excited to be recording with you, Yossi. And let's get right into it. Let's see the red. Ethereum is down. Solana is down. Ape is down. Overall, the market is down, but there is a lot of shitcoin activity going on, and there's a lot of buzz, and there's a lot of instant millionaires being made overnight. There's also a lot of people losing a shit ton of money. Let's see
what's happened with Pepe since we covered it on the show.
It definitely went up. I'm not sure exactly where it is this minute. It went up a lot, I believe. It went up to probably 300.
3x.
Yeah, 3x or 4x since we did the show. If you haven't seen it, check it out. And then there's, you know, Turbo and a bunch of other shit coins and meme coins that were born, and it seems like they're starting to finally come down. But a lot of people are believing in Pepe. They're saying Pepe is here to stay. I believe it was Azuki who was airdropping Pepe, if I'm not mistaken. So yeah, I mean, people are still believing in it. The rest of the NFT world right now, we're seeing a lot of red, except your friends at Azuki with the positive green. What's happening in the market, Yossi?
Well, I think you've covered it. The market is still bleeding. NFT prices are continuing to drop, and we're seeing trading volume go down. There is some light at the end of the tunnel. We're seeing some innovative projects enter the scene, and we've got one of those on the show today. It's a Solana-based project that really took the world by storm, though they haven't been building in a short time period. They've been going for quite some time and building some really interesting technology. This was their foray into the world of NFTs and into the world of what can be done with this technology. I'm going to bring on our co-founder and fellow guest, Tristan, co-founder of XNFTs and Backpack and Mad Lads and all of that terminology that we're going to go into and more. So let's bring Tristan onto the show. Welcome, Tristan. How are you today?
I'm doing great. Just getting started with the week here and chugging along. We've had a pretty nonstop run ever since the mint on the 21st of last month.
21st of last month was the mint. And I must say, you chose a pretty tough time to be minting a NFT project. But despite that, did exceptionally well in this market. Tell us about why you chose this time to come to market and what Mad Lads is about.
Yeah, absolutely. So the time to market was because we were sort of trying to determine when we wanted to launch. And as we got closer to 420, we realized, well, we should just do 420 for the culture. We were going to do it on the night of 420. We had a massive DDoS attack because botters were trying to understand how they could mint the Mad Lads mint programmatically while we were doing the mint through Backpack. And we wanted every person that got one of these Mad Lads to be a unique individual versus these botting farms, essentially. So we had a big bot war, DDoS war, which actually turned into a positive because it gave a ton of attention to Mad Lads, to Backpack. We had a Twitter space with 6.6K people going around it that night. And then we ended up doing the 21st because it was the day after. We delayed one day, got our infrastructure in a better place, and then shipped it. So the question of around what is Mad Lads, I think is an interesting one because it's quite different from the majority of NFT projects that you've probably heard of or seen up until now. Because at core, at essence, we are a technology company. We are a very dev-heavy team. We build product. We've built this multi-chain non-custodial wallet, which is Backpack, which supports XNFTs, which is a new decentralized application protocol that we've created. So you're able to use these decentralized applications within Backpack. Third parties are able to create these applications as well. So it's a little bit like WeChat, where you have the base application and then a developer ecosystem for other folks to build on top of. So that's the core of where we started, where these, you know, technology, product, protocol innovation. But one thing that we realized is that it's really hard to make people care when you're a product-only company, when you're a technology-only company. You can get to the crypto natives, you can get to the tech nerds, you can get to all these people that care about these things, right? But when you try and go for a general audience, it's really hard to transmit to them why they should give a fuck about what you're building, excuse my language. And so what we realized is that there were two things we needed to do. One, we have this XNFT standard, which allows for tokens to be applications. So we needed to showcase that through a collection because it's much easier to have an example and then have other people build upon that example than it is to just build a protocol and go out into the world and say, hey, this protocol is cool. You guys should use it. So that was one pillar, the smaller of the two pillars. And the stronger of the two pillars was that we really deeply believe that Web3, that crypto is this intersection of culture and technology. So, you know, Satoshi Nakamoto solved the double spend problem. But if there hadn't been that initial group of cyberpunks that really evangelized this whole cryptography solution to the world and really made it a core part of their lives, I would argue that crypto wouldn't have gotten to where it is today. So much in that same vein, we have Backpack, we have XNFTs, we have all of these technology components, but we needed the cultural component. We needed the people that would be able to give relevance to the things we were building on the product side. And that's what Mad Lads are. They're the spearhead of everything that we're building. They're the brand that we can get into a state where the regular crypto curious, the crypto person who only has their balance on Coinbase, the crypto person that hasn't even gone beyond the exchange accounts and wants to go into the non-custodial world, and even just regular non-crypto people can relate to this brand. We want to build a brand where they look at it, they're like, wow, this is kick-ass. Even if it's crypto, they don't necessarily think right away, oh, this is a crypto brand. More so, they think this is just an awesome brand. And then over time, as we provide unique experiences for them within Backpack, we hope that these people will come in from the sort of top of funnel, which is Mad Lads, the Mad Lads community, further down into Backpack. We've seen some initial success with that, with our download Backpack extension download count going from around 30,000 before the mint to around 70,000 after the mint. But this is just the start for us.
So you've given us quite a lot there, and it's pretty exciting. Can you just take a step back and explain to our audience the significance of Backpack and executable NFTs and what that really means and why that is significant for the Solana ecosystem? And then a little bit of how you envision XNFTs kind of shaping the future of NFTs and Web3.
Yeah, absolutely. So Backpack is a non-custodial wallet, but just having a new non-custodial wallet wasn't enough justification to have a new product on the market. We needed something else. We needed something new. We needed something special. And we went through a very, very intensive iteration period where we were just kind of really pounding our heads against the pavement, trying to think through what we should build. And during this process, one of the things that we came to was this WeChat model. We thought it was really interesting that you could have a application and then within it have these widgets, these plugins, these native apps that would allow you to kind of explore an ecosystem without having to go out and find all the different websites, all the different social media links, all of these different pieces. And while we were thinking through that, we were like, this is cool, but what if we have to host all these apps, all these widgets? What about the legal liability of that? What if somebody builds a gambling application? What if somebody builds a high leverage on-chain perpetual exchange and they build an XNFT? We can't host that. There's a legal aspect there. And so as we were thinking through these considerations is how the idea of XNFTs came to be, which essentially is, well, what if we don't host that code that allows people to build these widgets, these bundles? What if it was the NFT itself that owned the code? What if we tokenized the code so the NFT hosts it versus having a centralized party host it? And the way that works is quite simple. So what we did is, if you know existing metadata structures like on Ethereum, that's ERC 721, ERC 1155, on Solana, that's the Metaplex metadata program. And what we did is we didn't remove anything. We didn't switch anything. We just did an additive solution, which means that we added a new line to the metadata of these existing standards. And that new line now has a pointer to a bundle of code that says, I own that bundle of code. And that's exactly what an XNFT is. It's like essentially tokenized code. Another way to think of them are decentralized applications. And what Backpack is able to do, it's able to take this bundle of code, execute it, and then run whatever the experience that was built within Backpack. So much in the same way that on your, Mac or Windows computer, you can download software and then you can run that on your Mac and it gives you an interface for you to interact with to do whatever action you're trying to do. It's the same thing within Backpack. So essentially, you have this application, you click on it, it runs, and it gives you whatever that creator wanted to give you as an experience. And you have it in the same stack as where you have your digital assets because your wallet is there as well. So it removes this whole context switching aspect. You're doing everything within the same interface.
So, Tristan, you obviously built a technology that is revolutionary, that is different, that is new, that is unique, that serves a purpose. And as you're explaining it, I'm sure that people that are deep in the space and understand the tech and why this is important are really, really excited about it. How did you get the attention of, the average Joe, the average degen that's like, hey, this is something that I should believe in? Or was the strategy just like, hey, we believe the technology is so strong and there's going to be enough people that are going to be interested in the project just on its own?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I think there is definitely a education curve on getting people to wrap their heads around what we've built. Even though it's not that complex, it's just net new, so it's not as intuitive to people when they hear XNFT, they're like, "Oh, I know what that is." But one thing that we did initially was we leveraged people's curiosity on things that they didn't know what it was, but they saw like large accounts talking about it. So at the very, very beginning, when I first shipped the first Twitter that we had, before we had the Backpack name out, before we had Mad Labs, before we had anything, it was just called XNF something XNFTs. And a lot of people in the Solana ecosystem changed their Twitter names to XNFT. So XNFT Anatoly, XNFT Austin Federa, XNFT Raj. And so even though people didn't know what it was, they wanted to know. They wanted to participate. They wanted to be a part of this thing that seemed innovative, that seemed net new to the space. And we were able to channel all that energy to form the backbone of our community before we then went on to be public about Backpack, public about Mad Lads, the Mint, and everything, and so forth. So a lot of it for the degen side of things was just leveraging their innate curiosity on new cool things that are happening in the space. Because I think that what it really boils down to is there's two things people care about, especially on crypto Twitter, which is one, to have fun, and two, to have alpha or make gains or make money somehow. I think like those are the two net motivators that keep people on socials all day in Twitter or in crypto, I guess. So we leverage those to initially get that user base going. But now that we're sort of much further down the line, our thing that we can use for this aim is Mad Lads. So it doesn't have to be Backpack. We don't have to necessarily go out right now and try and educate every person around what XNFTs are and why they should use them, or if they're a team, why they should build XNFTs. We can just use Mad Lads as this pointer to say people like, hey, check out these Mad Lads. They're NFTs. They're what you're used to. They're what you know. But if you hold it in Backpack, you can also just click on your NFT and now it's an application-like experience. Now it brings you into whatever dimension that we're trying to build for you without you having to go and use Matrica or Colab Land or any of these token verification systems that right now is a very complicated user journey.
So Tristan, give me an idea of that. If I am a user, I'm holding a Mad Lad NFT, I'm putting it in my backpack. Give me an idea of what does that mean now? What kind of application can I now execute from this NFT? What are the types of experiences that either you're building or exist today?
Yeah, so excuse me. There's the lowest hanging fruit, which is the holders chat, where you have the NFT and there's a button and you're right away there with all the other holders of that NFT. We have that in Backpack because we have messaging as well in there. That's
So you
really
don't have to go to Discord, you don't have to go to Telegram, you're there, you're talking to people who hold the NFT within
immediately.
the application. Okay.
Yeah. So immediate access to the community is one big thing. But that's not sort of the entire picture at all. That's just the lowest table stakes thing that can be added as an XNFT component. Where it gets more interesting is around things like what we did around, I think it was, I don't know if it was the 29th or the 31st, where we took a snapshot, or we didn't even say we took a snapshot. We posted a one of the collection, and we said say cheese and a date. And everyone assumed that we took a snapshot and they were, thinking they were going to get an airdrop or free stuff. And then what we actually did is we waited 2 days and then we said, go click on your lads. And everyone's like, oh man, we're going to go get to claim a free NFT. We're going to go to get to claim something. And they showed up and it showed that one of one and a claim button. Once they clicked on their lad, it populated an interface for them where the one of one was there. There was a button to claim. They clicked the button to claim, ready to go, ready to claim this NFT. And it was a Rickroll video. And so we Rickrolled the whole community. But the reason we did that was in part just to showcase how versatile this element is. You can basically insert whatever you want into it. So we're building out the long-term XNFT experience, which I won't leak at all, but we have that whole line of work being done right now. And then we're also thinking through just different experiences that we can give holders little delights. Like it's so weird to click on an NFT and have a video play. Like no one's really ever seen that before. And then we actually did take the real snapshot a couple of days after. So we weeded out all the weekends that got pissed. The people that enjoyed the Rickroll, they held, they got in the snapshot. The people that got pissed at us, they sold and they missed the snapshot.
Tristan, what's, going from, once again, like technology company, dev, product, right? And now you're kind of experiencing the day-to-day of a P2P project, right? I'm sure you have people in Discord that are, you're explaining it, right? When is airdrop? When's the price going to go up? How can I make money on this? The daily questions that you're getting that you're probably like, oh my God, here we go. Like, how do you go through that, right? How do you go competing against other projects that, may be similar, maybe in a similar price point, or even projects that have been around for the last 2 years and that are crushing it?
Yeah, that's a really good question. So one thing we learned really fast is to not feed into hype cycles. We have a lot of things that we want to build and we are already building. And as we get those things out, we will release them to the holders. And I think they will be really happy with the things and the experiences that we show them. But we realized that the biggest mistake you can do as an NFT project is to be so worried about floor price that you're trying to put out, rah-rah announcements every day, even though they don't actually equate to anything interesting going on. And so it's made us a little bit more patient and less focused on the day-to-day of the floor price. And I think Armani put this really well, my co-founder. He said, what we need for our holders is to move from a days and weeks mentality to a quarters and years mentality, because we're here building for the long term. And a big part of that is, we're a technology company. We're not just launching an NFT to get some royalties and get some mint funds. We're actually going to be building here for years. And so over time, the turnover of our holders will tend towards those that are excited by that, and they want this long-term journey, and they want this long-term experience, and they think that the innovation that XNFTs offer are powerful enough that it will provide sort of value to them as a holder, even though we promise no utility and we say there will be no utility. It would also be a medium for us to explore these things that we can build.
And I like the long-term perspective, and there's very few of those in the market today. And you're no stranger to kind of long-term perspectives. You've been in the Solana ecosystem for quite some time. Before the show, you were saying how you're building on Solana before pretty much anything existed there. Tell us a bit about how you got involved in the Solana ecosystem.
Yeah, absolutely. So before Backpack, I spent time at FTX. I joined there as a customer support person. And a little bit into my time there, the FTX team got involved in Solana because Serum was launching and there were a few other things going on. And for me, I always felt much more affinity towards on-chain and blockchain-based work. And so when I saw an opportunity to go over and help out on that front, I really raised my hand quite quickly and said, hey, I want to work on this. And so I started doing early customer support stuff and business development stuff for the Solana blockchain. Like it was sort of thinking about Serum, but it was very much Solana blockchain as a general focus. And so I got to see basically every stage of this blockchain up until today. And also I got to help incubate a lot of the projects that we see on mainnet today. So it's been a really beautiful perspective on the strength and the community within this network. That being said, though, so Backpack is a multi-chain wallet. We already support Ethereum. We will bring the XNFT standard to EVM chains. This is going to be much more than Solana. But I just have a lot of affinity for Solana because I've been able to see it grow. And it's also why we chose it as our home base, because we have a lot of rapport here. And we can get that initial user base that when we then show up at other chains, it's much more compelling for those people to, add XNFT standards to their NFT collections or build XNFT applications for their users.
So you've had a real behind the scenes view of what does it take to build up a protocol and a chain. You've also been in the seat of FTX, who's no stranger to the past few months of what's happened there. We also saw Solana kind of have a crisis of faith going down to kind of $8 at a time, sitting at $21 today. What's your view on the future of Solana? I know you're multi-chain in what you're building, but for people that are interested in the Solana ecosystem, what gives you conviction, or do you think now is the time to be diversifying out of that ecosystem?
Yeah, I've never been more optimistic for this ecosystem than I am now. I think for several reasons. One of them is that with the FTX collapse and everything that happened, it really sent Solana through the crucible. And what came out the other side of the crucible was actually sort of the magical mercury. It wasn't sludge. And what we're seeing is that this rebirth is not only trending from a price perspective, but trending from a community, from an engineering perspective, from a sentiment throughout all of these folks when they come in every day and they either participate as a user or they are building things within the ecosystem. So I think these things to me stand out very strongly. And I think Solana feels like it's in a better place than I've ever seen it before, which seems a little bit counterintuitive. But I think now that it has this overhang of Sam Bankman-Fried off of it, it will be able to move in much healthier directions. I don't know this is a fact, but my sense is that he probably tried to direct what was happening with the chain in some regard to things that were beneficial for him. And now with that gone, people will be able to take it in the place that they want to take it as builders versus having to worry about sort of economic incentives of other large holders of the chain. So I think those things are all positive. I also think that at an individual level, and I'm sure a lot of other people went through this. So, when the FTX collapse happened, a lot of people lost a lot of their money. A lot of people lost a lot of their faith in the space. A lot of people felt incredibly betrayed, and it was really hard, and it was really shitty, and it was depressing. But seeing the energy that remained within the Solana ecosystem and all these people who, even though they had gone through all this adversity, said, "Fuck it, we're going to keep building." For me personally, as someone who got pretty fucked by this whole thing, it was incredibly motivating, and it aligned me more with this community. It made me want to put more of my energy and love into it because these people were there no matter what. So anyway, I'm getting mushy, mushy here, but that's a little bit of how I felt.
And Tristan, one last question for me. As far as you've been here for a long time. You've been here from the beginning. And what do you tell somebody that's kind of jumped into the space, whether it's a year ago, 2 years ago, or 6 months ago? Everything is down, right? There's a lot of BS out there, and there's a lot of backlash in general in the community. People are upset. People are not. There's not a lot of liquidity. What's your motivational speech to those people, based on your experience?
I mean, more than a motivational speech, it's just my core belief that I think we're building things here that can change the world. And I think it's a lot harder for folks in places like the United States to wrap their head around that than it is for folks in Argentina and Nigeria and places where these technologies truly matter and can be life-changing and are already life-changing from day to day for these people. So I think to not forget the big picture and all of these things that are happening right now are small data points in a much larger picture, which is trying to create a trust minimized system for the world to be able to operate on a peer-to-peer basis, which I think is a truly impactful and powerful thing that we as humans should be aiming for. So I think a lot of it is to not think about this again, like this is like the NFT thing. Don't think about this from days and weeks. Think about this from quarters and years. And when you take that perspective, I think historically it's proven that folks have been very successful. And I don't mean this from a financial advice perspective. I mean it for people who decided to build in the space and never left after bear markets, like the Stonies of the world with Aave, who was ETH Lend in 2017. He never gave up. He kept building. He kept building. He kept building. DeFi Summer came around, and he became one of the largest protocols in the world. I think there's a lot of cases of this, and so I think for people that come into the space, if you come in just with monetary goals, you will get flushed out. I mean, clearly, look at SBF. He became one of the biggest players in the space, but he clearly didn't give a fuck about any of us, about anything that was being built. And he got flushed out. He's out. And I think that's a really good thing. I think it hurt a lot of people, but I think it's really good that these things occur. And so I think my advice for people coming in is don't look at this as a flip, as a thing you'll hold for a week and then get out. Think of this on a year-to-year basis or multiple-year basis.
Let's take that perspective for the creators that are entering this space. A lot of people originally entered NFTs as a creator because there were ongoing royalties that could be earned, and we're seeing that there's a lot of downward pressure on that. What's your opinion on NFT royalties, and what's your plans on royalties for Mad Lads?
Yeah, royalties have been really interesting. I think Solana has been a good showcase here because they kind of sped ran the whole discussion before it even hit Ethereum. It went from royalties are okay to zero royalties to no marketplaces enforcing royalties to a royalty enforcement protocol coming out and a bunch of NFT projects incorporating this royalty enforcement protocol that makes it so people have to pay royalties. We're seeing a lot of the same stuff with Blur and whatnot on Ethereum now. And from our perspective, we want to understand how royalties affect other dynamics. So right now, royalties on Mad Lads, even though we started at 5%, they're 0.5% right now. Not because we're going to leave it at that forever, but because we're trying to do experiments. We want to understand what people think about when they go and they buy their Mad Lad. Like, is that 5% a prohibitive for them? Does it make them not purchase the Mad Lad? Do they not care? Does 0.5% make a difference? So we're just experimenting, and we're quite flexible here. I think for now, on Solana, we're on the PNFT standard, which is this royalty enforcing standard, which is, falls within Metaplex. One thing we have open to consideration is we would love for the protocol that we use to be completely immutable, which is not the case with the current Solana metadata program for NFTs. So if an alternative like that does come up where we have a truly immutable NFT metadata program, it's likely we transition to that, even if it means not being able to enforce royalties, because that's our first order priority. That being said, I think people are going to have to get creative. I think, yes, royalties are really, really special value add that NFTs have. And I think it's created a really amazing space for artists, but I think it's also allowed for enormous amounts of grifts. So people who come in, they launch a collection that they have no intention of sticking to over time. They try and maximize mint price, they try and maximize royalties. And it's unclear that those people should be even earning those royalties. Like, what are they giving back that should give them the ability to get those royalties? On a one-of-one artist, it's super clear. It's the provenance that that person will continue making art and make your art more rare down the line. And you want to give them incentive structures that allow them to continue on their paths of their mastery of their art. For large 10K PFP collections, it doesn't necessarily make sense unless there really is some return occurring for the community there. So from our perspective, I think royalties will change. I think royalties may stop being as common for non-great large collections. And I think a good way to think about this are, what are new business models that NFT projects can take on that aren't royalty dependent for them to have longevity? Luckily for us, it's not instrumental to us surviving or not, because we have Backpack, we have all these other components that we can lean into. But if people want to do solely royalties funded companies, I think they're going to have to get creative, and it's not going to work anymore. So I'll give you an example of an idea related to XNFTs, perhaps solving this royalty thing. This is a very ambitious idea, so bear with me. It's just as a thought experiment. But you could imagine Bruno Mars wants to do an NFT drop, and he's interested in it. He thinks it's cool. He thinks he could, raise funds for charity, and he likes the idea a lot. But then once he's talking to his advisor, the guy explains to him that he'll need a Twitter, he'll need a Discord, he'll need Discord community managers, he'll need a website, he'll need the mint, he'll need all of these pieces before anything can sort of really happen on the back end of that NFT sale. And by the back end, I mean an experience that occurs for the holders. So he's probably gonna be like, you know what, fuck it, it's not worth it. I'd rather just go donate to the charity myself. Like, I make enough money, who cares? But in XNFT land, what that could look like is, Bruno Mars does an NFT drop. People go to the mint, they mint their NFT. They're one click away from the holders chat with all the other holders of that NFT. And the only thing that Bruno Mars may have to do is, once a week, he gets on live stream and he performs a couple songs, like he's just practicing in his studio or whatever, and he records that. That XNFT at that time of the week would be a live streaming
That's cool.
interface for the person to watch Bruno Mars play. And he has
That's very
no
cool.
overhead other than turning on his live stream thing, getting in his studio and like jamming out for a little bit. And then another example of this is like, well, what if the project didn't have royalties? How could the creator of that project have extra revenue? And an idea there is like, well, he has his preset bi-weekly studio set where everyone that owns the NFT can go listen. But what if you can pay an extra $100 subscription and there's one other time a month that he does a performance as well? So you can start thinking about subscription models and other systems through which there can be value accrual to the creators of these NFTs.
Yeah, but and those are all great ideas. I guess the issue is that a lot of the people that came into the space, they didn't want to do anything, right? They're just like, I'm gonna launch an NFT project because the timing is right. I could make a few million dollars, and now there's nothing's happening, right?
So I think
Those.
there's a mix. I agree with you that there were a ton of grifts, and I bought some of them and lost money, and these guys didn't give a fuck, and they
We're
did
not
like,
gonna name. We're not gonna
yeah,
name any
they did like
Satoshi
32.
MFers or anything like that.
Well,
They did like,
I'm talking about from like I'm talking
yeah.
about from a celebrity standpoint of view, right? Like,
No,
because
that's what I'm referring to, yeah.
yeah, like because if Bruno Mars comes out right now and says I'm launching an NFT project, I think the people in his community are probably going to be excited about it because I'm sure there's a lot of Bruno Mars super fans. I think the NFT community is going to look at it and be like, oh, here we go again. This guy's coming in and is going to try to make a few dollars.
But what I love about what you're describing, Tristan, is you're saying that the ability for people using the technology that you're building to have a direct to consumer relationship, the direct to holder relationship, you are removing all the friction that exists in that chain today. And there's a lot of friction. If someone wants to hold an NFT today, they've got to understand downloading MetaMask. They've got to understand kind of gas prices, get crypto into their wallet. Once that's done, then they've got to connect to Colab Land or something to authorize their token to be able to enter into a Discord. And all of those steps, just it's way too complicated. And what you're doing here is you're saying you hold the NFT, that becomes an application. There is a world of things now behind this application. Just by clicking on it, you can have all these experiences. And you as a creator, if you think about it in that in a paradigm, what does it look like to have a one-on-one relationship with someone across the world? And you don't have to build any of that infrastructure. You can just go out and do this. And that's extremely powerful. How does that translate into Mad Lads if I'm thinking of becoming a Mad Lads holder and kind of what's next for me in the world of Mad Lads?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I do want to take one quick step back to
Sure.
Stanley's point because I think it's a really fair point. I think the majority of celebrities that came into the space did it to make a quick buck, and we saw that specifically with the guys who did four or five of these collections during the bull run. Although I will give the benefit of the doubt to some, especially because I spoke to some parties that, shared this, they didn't realize the overhead. They didn't realize all the pieces. So, like, for example, we did Steph Curry's NFT drop back in the day. And they didn't realize all the pieces that went into creating these dynamic systems. And so for them, it was just too much, the terrible ROI on their time. And so they just like backed out of it, soft rugged, and a lot of people felt really disappointed. So I think hopefully with a new system like this, it would create an easier vehicle for them to not have that overhead and actually be able to like give that value back. And then I think the other point that you raised, which was really interesting, is that you're right that maybe the NFT crowd won't care, but I'm actually really happy that the crowd that would care aren't the NFT people, because those are the people we want coming into the space. Those are people we want in Backpack. Those are the people we want sort of growing the pie. So hopefully that is something that happens down the line. But and anyway, I just wanted to touch on that. To your question, Yossi, what is going to happen for Mad Lads? What can I say here without spoiling a surprise? I can say we will have a lot of fun together. I can say we are working on a lot of different verticals that Mad Lads will tie into in some way or other. I can say that Mad Lads will be one of our main priorities and focus in everything that we do as we build out this company over the years. I can say it's just going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be a lot of fun, and we're going to be right there next to every holder. And if people hang out in the Discord, they'll see it. I'm in the Discord all the time. Our team's in the Discord. We're a part of this community, and we feel tremendous appreciation for the community. We don't take it for granted at all, and we continue to want to operate like that.
Tristan, and one question for me, as far as like, because I think a lot of people do things that are a little bit similar where, like there's a company that's backed by it, right? But the NFT project is not has nothing to do with the company. Like, do you think that, like, can you come out and say, hey, NFT holders will be rewarded in some sort of way? Not from a, equity standpoint of view, or not from a, if we become the biggest thing on the blockchain technology, can you say that there is going to be some sort of benefit for the NFT holders down the line if they kind of stick with you guys going forward?
No utility ever.
No utility.
It's just an art project. Enjoy the art. Art enjoyers. Art enjoyers only. The thing that we can really do, which is beautiful, is we can craft newfound, never done before experiences for our holders because we have this technology, because we have this product, and we can make them feel very much at home within everything that we build. But that's about as much as we can say. No utility.
I like it. I like the honesty, man.
No utility. You heard it here first, but lots of fun. Tristan, great to have you on the show. I certainly learned a lot, and I am a fan of Mad Lads. I'm a holder of Mad Lads. So full disclosure there. And great to have you on.
Thanks for having me, guys. It's a really pleasure meeting both of you.
Same here, brother.
Bye. Take care.
Appreciate you.